That is a wonderful song for Levi to call. And you know, it'd be my desire that all through his life, he would be able to sing that song continually. It is well with my soul. And not just for him, but for all of us throughout our life. And to be able to do that, we need the Lord every once in a while to help us make some adjustments, some tweaks so that it'll continue to be well with my soul. I've been thinking last week we talked about a faithful God. He truly has been faithful through time and has promised to be with us until the end. Tonight I was thinking about a subject, memory, God's memory. Now, I was looking at the definition of it, and this probably just applies to the human part, the faculty of the mind by which it retains knowledge of past events or ideas with little or no effort. You know, for us, I have learned to appreciate memory more because I'm losing it. More and more things I think, what was that? And I remember when I was a child, I don't see it anymore, but I would see sometimes old people would tie a string around their finger and I'd say, what's that for? So I'll remember something. Well, I thought, wait a minute, that won't help me a bit. Because now I can't remember why I put the string on my finger. But somehow that was supposed to help them. But what I'm interested in tonight is past the human. Maybe sometime I'd like to talk to about the human part of remembering. But past the human, let's look at God himself. His memory, his ability to remember. And I'd like to go back and start in the 9th chapter of Genesis. One of the first places that I think about him reminding us that he's got a memory. In the 9th chapter and in the 13th verse, we've looked at this before, says in the 11th verse, I'm going to establish a covenant with you. Neither shall flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and thee, me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud. It shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud. Now look at that 15th verse. And I will remember my covenant. Now, do you think that God would forget if there wasn't a bow in the cloud? No. I think what he's doing with the bow is to let us know that he continues to remember what he did with it. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. So I've been thinking about the bow, that rainbow. It's a reminder. May it always be a reminder to me that God remembers. All these years have passed, and yet he remembers this bow right here as a memory to us also. It's a beautiful sign. You know, you go along, I've seen double rainbows. You ever seen a double one? It's amazing then God stacked it. It's almost like I want to just reaffirm to you twice. A lot of times it's when it's really been a big storm and it's really dark. And it shows up. I think Sister Vicki was mentioning about maybe Sister Karen sent a picture of a rainbow recently. That it would be a sign to us, God saying, I remember a covenant between you. But I tell you, the world has taken that sign and trashed it.
Yes.
You know, used to we would say this rainbow is a beautiful sign of something. But instead what they have made it for is a symbol of the gay lifestyle. You know, used to I would have enjoyed having a rainbow on my window. Just something beautiful. It's a reminder to me of the reminder that God said it was to himself. What's the connection? Is there a connection between the two? No connection except for one thing. God remembers. He remembers his promise. And I think it would be good for us for a little while tonight to take a look at how God remembers some things. And it gives me a little better picture of God. I'd like to go over and take a look in the 18th chapter of Genesis. Because sometimes I wonder, when God looks down and sees the other rainbow, does it also remind him of another promise?
Yes.
Genesis 18 and 20. And here's why I want to talk about this for a little bit. This is the day we live in.
Yes.
The world is pressing us very hard that you accept everything around us. We need to take a look at how does God look at some things. Genesis 18 and 20. Lord said, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great.
Yes.
You know, they didn't use rainbow back then. Because their sin is very grievous, I'm going down to see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come to me.
Yes.
And if not, I will know. If you were to read this chapter, it brings such a serious picture to your mind.
Yes.
And yet the world today is going on strong with the rainbow. I'd like to look at the 13th chapter of Genesis. You know, Lot, it tells us in the 13th chapter and the 12th verse, you remember when Abraham and Lot, they're going to have to separate. And Abraham tells Lot, you pick which way you want to go and I'll take the other. And it says, 11th verse, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And it says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. There's something for us to remember about God. I'd like to go over to Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter. Because sometimes we will wonder, Lord, why do you allow some things to continue on? In Ecclesiastes 8 and 11, let's always remember this one. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the lifestyle that's being promoted today. And you know what? That lifestyle is being promoted today among churches, among religious people. I just read in the news just recently of leaders in churches that are openly this way. Next time I see a rainbow, whether it's in the sky or whether it's on a business window, may I always remember,
yes,
God has some promises. Malachi 3 and 6, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. You know, he does not go off of polls and because more people today agree with a certain direction that he says, well, maybe I need to change. No, this one says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, but that's not the end of it. It goes on to let me know what I need to do, what I need to be doing in this time. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, I know it's going to be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. You know, sometimes we can look at the wickedness in the world around us, and it could cause us to have happen to us what happened in the 73rd chapter of Psalms. 73 and 1, it starts off very good. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. So the reason for this Was it that sin was drawing him back into sin? Was that the reason that his feet had slipped? No, he was living a righteous life. But he started looking at the wickedness that's going on around him and seemingly to prevail, and says in the fifth verse, they're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And in the 11th verse, and they say, the righteous people can come to the point that they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? I was looking at the commentary. It says, how can these facts be reconciled with God's omniscience? You know, we talked about that before. God sees and knows everything. Well, this writer was saying, I've watched all these things happening, all this wickedness going on around me, and it kind of came to the point where I wondered, is God really looking at all this? Is he seeing all this? How can it be that he sees all this and he doesn't prevent it? You know, he went on down with some things until he got to the 16th verse. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But then something happened. Until I went into the sanctuary, and then I understood their end. This is something that is so important for all of us. When I go into the sanctuary, everything starts balancing out. I start being able to recognize how God looks at some things. When he hasn't caused destruction to come as payment for some of these things. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I don't want my testimony to be what Psalm 73 was. It just almost got me down. But for me to remember, you know what? God has a memory. God is watching it all. He has not forgotten it. The rainbow will always be a symbol to me that God remembers. He remembers there was a flood, and I believe we did that for Noah. That surely was a comfort to Noah the next time it starts thundering and lightning and raining, and then a rainbow shows up. It's a promise from God. As we see the world trash it, let's remember, God looks at things different than we do. We're living in a time of mercy, and I'm thankful for that. But when this one says, I went into the sanctuary, and I started to understand some things. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. But what I want to think for just a little bit about is the value of what we're doing tonight, of coming together. What does it say over in Hebrews? Hebrews 10 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because as we are able to come together like this tonight, we're able to understand how God views things, even though man views things a certain way. So there's some things that he wants to cause us to remember. I'd like to look over at a verse that's in 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1 and 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance, having us to have some memory, in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. There are some things that God wants to put in our memory that we would remember. In Psalms 119 and 11, it says, Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know what that's going to do when I need it? It's going to be in my memory. It's going to be one of the things that I remember at a time when temptation, when trouble comes to me. God's word is showing me how he views sin, whether it's in me or whether it's in others. And there's a verse that we This tells me something about God. It's in Galatians. Galatians 6. Six and seven, be not deceived.
Yes.
God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, this is not all just negative verses here.
Yes.
It has a part for if I'm sowing to the flesh. It also has a part for if I'm sowing to the Spirit, because God is remembering both of them. And then it goes on in the ninth verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing. This is the time that we're living in today. God remembers how I'm living, and I am thankful for that, that He knows my desire to please Him with my life. No matter what happens in the world around us today, God remembers the evil. God remembers the good. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we will reap if we faint not. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Let us be careful that it not affect us. It must be that God does not see. No, God sees it all. I would like to look at an example of God's memory. Remember the children of Israel? They have crossed the Red Sea. They're out in the wilderness and they're traveling. And when I read in the commentary about this problem they had, it's in Exodus, the 17th chapter. You know, when you have that amount of people, we just kind of think about a small group going somewhere. But we say that there is somewhere maybe over a million people. That's hard to imagine. If you had the size of Oklahoma City and you're trying to guide those people somewhere, what it would be. Well, look at the 17th chapter of Exodus. It's one thing for Moses just to be trying to get the people through there, but then it's another thing over in the 8th verse. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. You know, they were hardly in a place to be able to do battle. They were just trying to get from one place to another. But you remember, this is the one where Moses, when he would hold up his hands, the Lord would help them to win.
Yes.
When he got tired and he let them down, the Lord would cause them to lose. But what I want to, I'm thinking about God's memory tonight with this story. It says in the 14th verse, the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God is saying, I'm going to remember this right here. I'll take care of it out in the future. What's that verse? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. But he says, God says, I'm going to take care of it. When did he take care of it? In 1 Samuel 15 and 2, you remember God is sending a message to Saul. I want you to go now and destroy the Amalekites. How many years had passed from the first event to the second event? It was saying in my Bible it was about 412 years later. It wasn't just, okay, a few weeks from now we'll come back and take care of this again. 400 years has passed, and he says it's time now to destroy the Amalekites. There is a reminder for me as I look at God's memory with this one and how he deals with it. In 2 Peter, when it starts talking about the end of time, there is a verse that I want to remember. 2 Peter 3 and 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You know, people could have looked at that verse in Exodus 17. God said, I'm going to utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek, and 100 years passes and nothing has happened. And in our day and time, we can say, you know what, time continues on. Kind of like this one, the third chapter talks about, there's going to be scoffers saying, where's the promise of his coming? You know, I have been hearing about it all my life, that the end of time is near. You know what I need to remember from all of these? God's timing is different than mine. I think he should bring judgment on some things that are wrong, and he continues to allow it to go. It was mercy that was extended in the third chapter of 2 Peter, not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's his mercy that is being extended today. But God remembers. You know, when it says 1,000 years as one day with him, how can it be? There's a whole lot of difference to us between one day and 1,000 years.
Yes.
He dwells in eternity, where you'll never measure the difference between one day and 1,000 years.
Yes.
There's no measurement of time over there. And I need to always remember too, I'm headed there. I want my life to be clear before God, because he has a memory. He knows how I'm living. I am so thankful that we have messages that come to us to show us adjustments, tweaks that we need to make in our life to be able to please him. But here's another thing that I need to remember. When all the trouble is going on around us and I read the news and it starts to stir me, I need to remember something that Romans 12 and 19 says. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. What does that do? That takes the responsibility off of me of expecting something to happen. I leave it with the Lord that sees one day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And then it has in Romans 12 and 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May I leave God's timing of judgment for evil up to him. He will take care of it. So I'm thinking about it's easy for me to forget some things. You know what God said? There's some things that he'll forget. And I am so thankful for it. You would think, you would tell you what, God has a memory that he will never forget. But he says he will forget some things. I'd like to look over in Jeremiah. Because what if he would not in this area of our life? In Jeremiah 31 and 33. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their inward parts. I'll write it in their hearts. I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That is a wonderful promise from God himself. I will remember those sins no more. Won't bring them up again. Psalms 103 and 8. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I am so thankful for that. And it goes on down, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. What transgressions does he promise to remove from us, like those? Those that we come to him asking for forgiveness. Those that I come to him, I'm sorry for the life that I have lived. I want you to save me. Does he remind us week after week? I tell you, you remember how bad you were. No, instead of that, as far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And then, what if it had been with Paul that God reminded him on a continual basis? You remember the people you killed in this city that you took to prison? And here's this wife right here with the children that the father's gone because of it. It said that he caused some of them to be put to death. But you remember what Paul did? Paul was able to get a glimpse of God's memory. He will remove as far as the east is from the west those sins that I have asked him for forgiveness for. And Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind. How can he forget it? Because God forgot it. Forgetting those things that are behind me and looking to those things that are out ahead, I press toward the mark. I am thankful for in this plan with God's memory. I'd like to look at one more verse in this one. God has a memory that he will not forget some things. But when I come to him and repent, he will forget those things. Psalms 130 and the third verse. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who should stand? You know what? If he marked them and never forgot them, we would surely all of us be in trouble. But I'm thankful that he does forget them. I would like for a little bit to look at another portion of God's memory. You know, God desires to have a relationship with every one of us. And this picture tells me how much he desires it. In Jeremiah, in the second chapter, it tells us how much God desired a relationship. He had the relationship with them. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, came to Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem and say, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. And I was looking in the commentary, youth, an infant political state, just having come out of Egypt. And you know, they had a desire to follow God. They needed his direction. Espousals, they received the law at Mount Sinai, and they solemnly accepted it. You remember when they were standing at the mountain, and that mountain went to quaking, and they said, Moses, you hear what God says and bring it to us, and we will do it. We have such a fear of God. But time has passed now, and God is going back to them, reminding them, I remember thee. I remember the kindness of your youth. I remember the desire that you had for me. But time has passed. Third verse, it says, Israel was holiness unto the Lord. A past tense. What I see from this right here is God's memory. He remembers the times when we're really close to him. And our desire is to walk close to him. And we could have times like this where he comes back and says, do you remember when you spent a lot of time with me, when that was your desire? He's not doing that to cast us off. He's doing that to tell us how much he cares about a relationship with us. And he goes on down. Look at what he says in the fifth verse. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and become vain? You know, how would it have made God feel after he had walked so close to them? They had a cloud by day and a fire by night to lead and guide them through that time. And now that the people would ever go to a place where they worship idols like the people around them, and he's trying to draw them back. What iniquity have you found in me? You know what? He desires to have a relationship with us today. And what I want to do is I want to have a heart toward him that as I realize how much he desires it, I want to desire it the same way. There is a place in Psalms, the 25th chapter, 25 and 6 through 7. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. This was a psalm of David. You know, David was asking the Lord, don't remember some things. Those things in the past where I've done wrong, don't remember those. I'm thankful that God has said, I won't remember those things that you have come to me and asked for forgiveness for. As a father pitieth his child because he remembers that we're dust. You know, he remembers more than we do where I came from. And I am so thankful that he takes that into consideration. You know, we heard this morning the song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. You're the potter, I'm the clay. And asking him to do in my life whatever you want to be done. Yes. Don't remember the iniquities forever. And he is so willing to forgive and forget. The God that says, I will remember my covenant with a rainbow. I will never have a flood again that destroys the earth. He also will take our iniquities and remove them as far as the east is from the west. I am so thankful for that. There is also a place where he is asking us to remember some things. Remember the blessings that he has sent to us, the care that he has had for us, and let it cause us to remember him. Because we have a lot of things trying to work for our attention today, to take up the 24 hours that I have, the time that I'm awake, that my thoughts will go in some direction. But may I remember the Lord and what he has done for me. Let it make a change in my life. I desire your prayers.